y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the 41 NASCAR podcast back on the airwaves one more time. Eddie Greer III here in Manhattan, Kansas. It is April. And don't worry, I'm not going to play the April Fool's show, but it is almost the Easter weekend. Happy Easter, early Easter to everyone listening to this podcast. Y'all know how I do it. The 41 NASCAR podcast, EP3. Keeping our truck series, Xfinity series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series, and motorsports. And this is the quote unquote special edition of the podcast. And this might will be the dirt recap from Bristol. Got a special guest coming on here in a few minutes. We'll talk about all that went down this weekend and get his take on the season and so much more with him. I've been wanting to get him on podcast for a long time, just schedule things haven't not worked out, but finally we'll get him on, and I almost changed the date on this one again, but had to get him in here while he was still available, so none other than Justin Champagne, I hope I'm saying that right, Justin Champagne will join me here in about a few minutes here as it's 9:05 here, Central Time, as recording this podcast here tonight. April 1st, 2021. Oh boy. I did not get to watch the races because of work, but I have gone back and watched a few highlights of the Bristol Dirt Race as well. And I'm going to sit down during Easter weekend where all the festivities going on around here and watch the whole entire race back. So, but man. What a huge turn of events. Obviously, my guy, Martin Truex Jr., upset the field in a truck series. I was completely baffled. You would have told me Martin Truex Jr. would go out in a truck series and dominate the way they did, taking all the stages in the win, then I would have laughed in your face and tell you, hell no, he was going to do that. But obviously, Kyle Busch, you know he's going to have great equipment, and that is part of it as well. But damn, MTJ showed why he is what he is, you know, on NASCAR. And then Joey Logano there coming on in the second half of the race there. And he and Denny, it took us back a little bit to last year on the pavement. These two battled hard toward the end of the race last year. But this time, Denny, a lot of people thought Denny gave this race away. On my Twitter feed, at least, anyways. Denny Hamlin there, right there. But again, he came up on a short end of the stick. And Joey Logano has been in the mix for these wins since the beginning of the year. Really, since the Daytona 500. He's in that one. In the Daytona Road Course, he's in that one. In the conversation at Atlanta. So and so on and so forth. And obviously, Martin Truex Jr. taking the win away at Phoenix. Joey Logano was in the middle of that one as well. So, you know the old cliche in all NASCAR, folks. If you run up front, lead laps close enough to the lead, you're going to eventually win these things. And that was to happen. That exactly what happened with Joey Logano on Sunday. So, Joey Logano falling on the board. And ladies and gentlemen, guys, seven races, seven different winners. And this is the first off week of 2021 for NASCAR. NASCAR returns to the paperclip next week. Boy, oh boy, that's going to be something else. But 7-7, and man, I'm not gonna say it yet, but man, we're on pace to really cut it close to probably getting 14, 15 winners possibly here this year. And some of the big dogs have not won a race yet this year. I'm sure Justin and I will touch on that and so much more. And soon as my interview with Justin wraps up here tonight, you'll hear the closing music. You know how I do it when I do these interviews, so you're not going to hear anything more than me. Tonight, obviously, me and Justin, we're going to talk NASCAR and a few other things here on this episode, a special edition. And this will be the Bristol Dirt Recap edition of the podcast here. And I have another guest lined up here to record here this week as well. So EG3 podcast, 3Y podcast, is moving along pretty good here. Obviously, it's been a while since the off season that I've had someone on the 3Y NASCAR podcast podcast with EG3 as well. But yeah, the other storyline as well coming out of the Bristol Dirt as I wait on the call from Justin here. The heavy favorites. The heavy favorites to obviously compete on not only the Kyle Larson ran both races, obviously. He ran the truck series, got involved in a wreck there. And then the two heavy favorites, Christopher Bell and Larson, well, they got involved in the same wreck, the same crash there that took themselves both out of a chance to win. Now, I don't know, given the fact that obviously the background of these guys, obviously they have done numerous battles multiple times on the actual dirt tracks there. There, and these two took each other out there, so we have not had a same winner yet. Obviously, Larson had a chance to do that, couldn't do it. Martin Truex Jr. ran up, he ran very well. I mean, yeah, he finished 19th, and I found out later that he had a flat tire there. Very unfortunate that that race did not end where earlier, a couple laps earlier than what it should. But yeah, Ricky Stenhouse, I know I'm bouncing all over the place. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., huge needed run there. He was one of my fantasy picks. Struck gold on that one. I struck gold in the Lap Trap Fantasy. This week, you're going to hear me on Brandon Crowd's podcast, the Lap Trap podcast, this weekend as well. And it looks like our guest of honor is calling. So it's time to take my break first. Well, small, short intermission break. When we come back to the podcast, y'all know how it is. Justin Champagne, next on the 3Y NASCAR podcast.
Coming out of turn four, we're back with the 3Y podcast with EG3.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And ladies and gentlemen, our guest of honor this week is on the other line, joining me now on the phone, none other than Dennis Champagne. I hope I'm saying your last name right. Dennis, welcome to the 3Y NASCAR podcast, sir. How you doing?
How's it going, man? Great.
Yeah, we're talking a little bit there just before I had you on. Yeah, I'm doing all right. It's been a busy week here for me, but man, it's been finally able to get you on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, it's an honor to be on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. How's the week been going, man?
It's been going good. I'm getting ready to pack. I'm going to Virginia tomorrow morning with my family for the weekend. You know, off weekend for NASCAR, so might as well, you know, get out the house and see family for once.
Yeah, that's a good thing, especially, obviously, this is Easter weekend as well, so a special weekend for all the families out there. So, obviously, I said it earlier, and I'm going to say it again, happy Easter to all of you guys as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on this weekend as well, so... Yeah, absolutely. Now, my phone says Bridgeport, Connecticut. Is that right where you live at?
I live in Stratford, Connecticut. That's the town right over.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Northeast, I've never been far. Northeast east I've been is actually West Virginia. So I've never been up to Connecticut before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for Kansas State. It was a few years ago, but K-State football, I called a game up there in Morgantown once when West Virginia finally joined the Big 12. That was good memories of that game, actually. We creamed the Mountaineers on that night. It was a high-profile matchup, and we ended up destroying them. So, yeah, all right. So, just I know we're going to talk dirt here in a little bit, but... Just tell the listeners, your upbringing and how'd you get involved in NASCAR?
Yeah, so when I was younger, my dad he watched NASCAR, and you know when you're younger, you want to follow your dad. You know, whatever your dad does, you want to follow those footsteps.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
The thing about it is I never got into any other sport. Literally, I don't watch any other sport but NASCAR. So I used to get made fun of, in school. Oh, what do you watch? I watch NASCAR. They would make fun of me. And sometimes that would make me want to stop watching NASCAR. But then I told myself, I was like, I don't care what these people think about me. I like NASCAR, and I don't like NASCAR. I love NASCAR. And then don't get me wrong. That's like my life. So, my dad brought it into the family. He doesn't really watch much, but, I'm a diehard NASCAR fan now.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. NASCAR, for me, came third. I played football and baseball while I was young, and you said follow your dad. Yeah, we were very much into those sports, and then every now and then we would go to Daytona to watch qualifying and some of those races down there, and eventually we went to Talladega as well. So yeah,
I love Talladega, man.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get into that. You earlier this year you went to the 500. That's right.
Indeed, I did. I usually go every year, but I haven't gone since 2018. So yeah, we finally went back this year, and it was a hell of a trip. We were on the inside and the infield, and that was. Seen a lot of people, seen the garages. It was a great experience.
Yeah, see, I never had the opportunity to go to the infield in Daytona, but obviously I've been to the race. I mean, it's been a minute. The last time I've been to Daytona was 2004, 2005, somewhere in there. So, but since then, Daytona really have some... really great facilities down there ever since I've left. I haven't been back. Have not been back, but obviously my home track now.
To the 2004 Daytona 500?
Yes, yes.
Yes, sir. You know who won that race, right? Dale Jr.
I do, yeah. I remember it very well. Still remember it very well. Man, the first time, I have a funny story, actually. So the first half of the race. When we were there, we're actually there with the baseball team. I was playing high school baseball at that time, I want to say. Anyways, it was with the baseball team, and then first half, I wasn't really engaged into it, and then that's when the big wreck happened, so I missed out on that, but I have the video, my dad taped the race, the DVR the race. So I went back to watch it, and sure enough, it happened on the backstretch of where I was, to where our seats were at. So, and then the second half, I got locked in, and then, it was just a three-horse race that day. Junior, Tony Stewart.
Tony, yep.
And I can't, no, it was, yeah, it was Scott Wimmer, I believe, was that third car, was in contention. I know back in those days, it was all about handling.
Yeah.
All about handling. Yeah, for sure. And that is a whole different ball game now when you look at speedway racing, Justin. You well know Daytona Talladega. Very close packs now. And
yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. On the edge of your seat. And yeah, I'm going to stick with the Daytona 500 this year. And oh, man. The first few laps of that race. And I knew after that first caution, something was going to happen. I told myself, something's going to happen. Weather's in the area. And sure enough, lap 24, 25. The big one happens there. So
yeah, that kind of ruined the race. It was kind of unfortunate, though. Like, the rain is coming. Like, why are you racing like that? And why would you have a big crash that early on in the race? I don't know, but
that is my point.
That hell of a push and all hell broke loose.
That is my point. I've said that a million times on this podcast that I'm not a big fan of when weather's like that close to the racetrack and they start the race. I know my fans have heard me say it and they agree with me.
It's true, man. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever. So again, you know, NASCAR decide. Well, and speaking of which, if you start this race at 1 o'clock Eastern time around noon Central time, maybe you don't have that issue. So, I mean,
the only thing I thought about if they started it early, it perhaps may have ended under a red flag because of rain.
Right.
But we'll never know.
Right. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. You never know. Can't say anything now. You can only wonder. What if? Right.
Yeah, man.
So, and before we continue the 500 talk, obviously today is recording this on April 1st, April Fool's Day, and during one of my, after one of my clients for work, stumbled on your tweet. Pretty good, it's pretty good. Taking over brackets, lost his ride, huh?
about that, I woke up. And my whole timeline was just April Fool's jokes and all that. And I was like, let me up a notch a little bit. And one of my mom's friends, she follows my Twitter account. And she texted my mom. And she was like, is this for real? Are you serious? Because she fell for it. And that's all it was about. It's April Fool's. You know, I'm a jokester. I like jokes. So, hey. One joke. I had to Photoshop my face on Brad Keselowski. Some people fell for it, but, you know, it's all in fun.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. I like that photo. Yeah, overall, the Daytona 500, that took the kind of the fun out of the whole race, obviously. And then you have the whole single file for how many laps that was there. And then you get to the end of the race there. Mayhem happens. Couple of turns there. Joey Logano there. Brad Keselowski. Speaking of which, there two teammates going for the win there. Yeah. And Michael McDowell sneaks in there at the right time, gets the win. And obviously, Michael McDowell's a pretty good speedway racer there. Yeah, gets the elusive. Yeah, gets the elusive win. Not only that, but wins the Daytona 500. And now, I mean, you can't talk about Texas anymore, obviously. What happened to him, oh man, good gosh, 15 plus years ago? Went the
2008, yep.
Yep, the double barrel roll crash at Texas. You can't say that about him anymore. Michael McDowell's actually had a pretty good season to this point. He racked up a couple top tens, and I can't remember where he finished, but this weekend, speaking of which, I did not, like I told the folks earlier, I did not get to see the races due to me working. I have watched highlights, gone back and watched several of the critical points in both races. I'm going to actually settle down, when things settle down Sunday evening, I'm going to go back and watch the Cup and truck races in its entirety. But whoop, I know we're bouncing around all over the place, but man, Justin, it's been a crazy year. 7 races already in the books and 7 different winners.
Yeah, I remember the promo before the season. The infamous quote, the best season ever. And we have Michael McDowell won a race. That's when you know the year is crazy. You know, he's a hell of a driver, but the equipment he's in is not that good. So for him to be in the chase to win the 500, and then Christopher Bell gets his first win the week after that, Kyle Larson comes back, wins that Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Man, 7 races, 7 different winners. And I don't know what to expect, because there's a lot of good drivers who still haven't won. So my prediction is, coming near the first race of the playoffs, it's going to get hectic, I'm telling you. It's going to be a top-notch driver who may not make it. I don't know who, but somebody will not make it.
Yeah, that's exactly, you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I believe it was the Daytona episode. I can't remember, but I know I said that somebody big is going to miss out on the playoffs this year. I can't tell you who. I'm the same way. I'm on the same level as you, Justin. I don't know who's going to miss it, but somebody big name is going to miss the playoffs. And before you called, I was talking about 77 winners in 7 different racetracks. That some of the big guys that have not won yet, obviously Denny Hamlin was in contention last weekend and could not get past Joey Logano. Kevin Harvick hasn't won yet. Keselowski has not won yet either. Let's see. Eric Jones coming off a top 10 run at Bristol Dirt. He's been pretty solid in less equipment this year.
Yeah, and he surprised me in that car.
Yep.
He's a hell of a driver, though. And I don't blame him. You know, it didn't surprise me at all that he's running good in the 43.
Yeah, he's been surprising to me a little bit, but he's a pretty good driver. So he's put down a couple of top tens as well. Your defending champion Chase Elliott hasn't gotten the win yet this year. Obviously, Matt. A lot of people want Matty D to win. That hasn't happened yet at all. Kurt Busch has had a couple good runs this year. Has yet to taste victory lane. Rowdy hasn't won yet either. So see, I can go down this list and reel them off. But yeah, it's gonna be tough.
It's gonna get crazy.
Yeah, with Martinsville coming up here next weekend. And then you have speed, and then you have one of your tracks, Talladega. There,
yes,
we could see another upset winner possibly there. So, I mean, I've said it earlier. We could see possibly. Oh man, it's going to be really close. We're gonna be flirting with it. That's for sure. But I want to get your thoughts overall on Bristol Dirt from last weekend there. Obviously, heading in, I was very puzzled about the move. Obviously, Bristol is one of the more famed short tracks in all of NASCAR.
Yeah.
And to see all the process of how that transformed into to pavement, into dirt, that was something. But I was a little worried that this race wouldn't live up. But the highlights that I've seen so far that I've watched. It was some pretty good side-by-side racing.
Yeah, it was a great race. When they first announced it, I applauded them, because I remember 2019, the spring Bristol race, the attendance was so bad, they couldn't even sell tickets on the turns. In my, we're talking about Bristol. We used to sell out. You used to have to wait for years to get a ticket.
But
the spring race, they couldn't even sell out the front stretch. And I was like, wow. I was like, they got to do something, you know, to get fans interactive with the spring race. And I remember practice for the dirt race. There was a lot of fans. I tweeted. I was like, there's more fans at this practice than there was at the spring race 2 years ago.
Saw that tweet. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was just a genius idea, just to make something different. You know, we don't have dirt races But overall, the race, I love the race. See the guys slipping and sliding. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of it. We've seen everybody came into that race thinking, all right, either Kyle Larson, he got that in the bag. He's going to win it easily.
Yep.
or Christopher Bell. And then when those two wrecked each other, that's when I was like, yeah, this race is going to get crazy.
Yeah.
And then we seen good old Daniel Suarez leading some laps.
Yeah, wow. Yep.
He was showing his muscle. And I was like, wow, like, this race really produced people you didn't expect to run up front, to run up front. And, you know, whenever a race has a surprise guy up front winning the race and all that, I always like the race.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you see different lead, and especially, yeah, Daniel Suarez didn't have much dirt experience. He did run a truck race last weekend. Also, Martin Trish Jr., my A driver, he surprised me. Won the truck race, dominated the truck race, and then led a ton of laps in the cup race there in front. Or fortunately for him, he had a tire go flat on him that last restart there and finished 19th, but still, he was up there in contention for the win. I mean, those guys really impressed me. That was a game changer. Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, pretty much 95.5% of the folks that I've interacted or that I listened to other podcasts say, hey, Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, they got this. They got this. And how funny is they both got involved in the same wreck. Oh man, that was a game changer. And then obviously Joey Logano's up front. You mentioned Suarez, great run for Trackhouse, one of the new teams in NASCAR this year. The other team, obviously, my second guy, but your guy, our guy, Bubba Wallace, he was in the top 10 for, I was keeping an eye on him, he was in the top 10 for majority of the afternoon, and obviously he won Eldora a few years ago with Kyle Busch, so he's going to be up there. But we'll just stay on Bubba Wallace here for a little bit. His season, he started the season so far, not up. I mean, it's unfortunate with some hiccups along the road. But, I mean, he showed some flashes, obviously. Daytona 500. He was up front, obviously. The qualifying race, he was right there. Almost won that one. So, if this team can get it right, obviously, you got to go back to Phoenix where Mike Wheeler screwed up the call.
don't remind me. Well, it's been, Bubba Wallace, you know, I defend him all the time. And From watching him every race, I say about three, possibly four top tens he should have. Obviously the 500. The last pit stop, his crew messed up, had a loose wheel. He was running in top five, top ten all day. That ruined his chances. Phoenix, like you said, this man was flying. He got all the way up to six with no strategy, just a great car and a great driver.
Yep.
And they made that silly pick off. But, you know, you're going for the win. You got to have strategy. But it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bristol Dirt, top ten all day. Got into it with Ricky Stenhouse, cut a tire, spun out. But yeah, he's been great this year, but his results haven't shown it at all.
Mm-hmm. So it leads up to Martinsville here next weekend, where we know Bubba Wallace runs very well at. And every time we go to Martinsville, obviously Martin runs well, very well there, but when we go to Martinsville, I know Bubba Wallace, he's going to be right there up in the mix, running the top 10, possibly top 5. And he's in more better equipment. Yes, the finishes don't show it, but he's in more upgraded equipment than RPM for the last couple years. And He's got. If I mean, they put the pieces together. They put the puzzle together. This team, Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin, owners of this team. For those who don't know, they got a chance. They got a chance to be right there in the mix every week, especially next weekend.
Next weekend, Martinsville. The week after that, 2 weeks after that, Talladega. So hey. Y'all better watch out, Bubba. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Watch out. Watch out now. Watch out for that 23. He's going to be right there in the mix. It's the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Eddie Gritter III here, joined by Justin Champagne, talking some NASCAR, going over last week a little bit and just having some fun here tonight on this Easter weekend. I know we're recording this on late Thursday night. April 1st, this episode is going to drop, looking to drop either Saturday or Sunday. So, yeah, look forward to that. But, yeah, definitely be aware of the 23. I mean, this is still early in the year, but Bubba Wallace, I think once this team gains some rhythm here, yeah, I'm right there with you. Watch out.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Once they get momentum, they already have momentum, but not finishing results. But once they get that top 10, they're going to be hard to beat.
Ooh, yeah. I just got that feeling that they can get just one top 10, just get one, and just build from there. Oh yeah, they're going to be straight. Kyle, I want to go back to one of the pre-race favorites from last weekend, Kyle Larson. He has been fast from the word go since the green flag dropped on the 2021 season. And who would have thought that Kyle Larson would already have a win now? Everybody thought that obviously he would get that first win on Bristol Dirt. That did not happen. Yeah. It happened earlier at Vegas. He was so strong. And he's kind of carried Hendrick Motorsports. I mean, I'm forgetting about him now. Byron won at Homestead earlier this year as well, but Kyle Larson stands out as a guy that's kind of been leading the charge. Yes, you had your defending champion, but Kyle Larson has been very, very strong here in 2021 so far.
Yeah, Kyle Larson, he's a great driver. It's kind of dangerous, you know, you bring a great driver into a fast race car, good equipment, he's going to be hard to beat. He should have probably multiple wins this year, but things didn't fall out. It's kind of hard to believe. I always argue with my brothers. Apparently the 5 team missed the 48 team from last year, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm like, it's hard to believe because seeing how Johnson ran in the 48 last year compared to how Larson's running in the same team, it's incredible.
It's
incredible.
Yeah. He has been very impressive, and you can only get better from where you are the last race, too. So, I mean, yes, unfortunately for Kyle, he wrecked out of a possible top five effort at Bristol Dirt. But, yeah, he's going to be – yeah, he should be – yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Ryan Blaney, for taking the win from Kyle Larson. Larson at Atlanta had a rocket ship there, and I did not watch the end of the race. I had got a notification – I was at a buddy's house, and we were watching March Madness, too, so a couple weeks ago, and got the notification that Ryan Blaney won. I had to double-check my phone for a second, like, wait, what? What happened? So, yeah, so Kyle Larson could not close the deal. It kind of goes back to his days at Ganassi, when he had a dominating car and couldn't close the deal there, and then Ryan Blaney, a couple weeks ago, got a win there. Ryan Blaney's interesting. To me, he's got a talent, obviously. I mean, he's won a race every year since he's been full-time in the Cup Series, if I'm not mistaken. But he hasn't been a multi-winner, Justin. So what do you think it's going to take for good old Ryan Blaney to finally become a and he's got a championship crew chief in Todd Gordon in his camp, so... What do you think is going to be the key for Ryan Blaney to have a chance to be contend for more wins and to close the deal?
I think he just has to be a little bit more aggressive and kind of show his muscle more. Because obviously, We all know he's a great driver. He wins every year. But sometimes on the racetrack, he's not as aggressive. So I think, you know, let your drivers, let your fellow competitors know, like, yeah, I'm here to win. I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win this race. And, yeah, that's really all I can think of.
That's good. That's good enough for me. So, yeah, I'd say, yeah. You're in one of the best equipment in all of NASCAR. Yeah, Ryan Blaney's got to get it done. So, I mean, we'll see if he can get another win here in 2021. I want to run down the top 10 from Bristol Dirt here real quick. Here from last weekend, Joey Logano won the race in overtime. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. coming from the back. He started 27th, 28th. Yeah. And then worked his way, and I had him on, and I was very surprised that majority of the people I interacted with last weekend did not have Stenhouse in their fantasy, and I did, because of his experience in dirt, and he's pretty good getting around on dirt, and he made a run there in the final lap, closing laps there, but it would have been interesting if we racked him there, if we got another double file restart there. That would have been interesting there.
Yeah, you want to have done what Hamlin did. I would never understand what he was trying to do. All he had to do was go in there, give Logano a bump and run at a short track. I don't know. But yeah, if the roles were reversed, yeah, you bet your bottom dollar that Stenhouse would have gave Logano the muck run. He probably wouldn't want the damn.
Yep, he probably would have. Yeah, Stenhouse, he's not afraid to mix it up, that's for sure. But that's a good run. Yeah, he's not afraid to mix it up with anybody. But that's a second place, good run for that team there, Denny Hamlin. Yeah, I don't understand what he was thinking there. Third. Yeah, I know one of my buddies who's a Martin Truex Jr. fan said the same thing, or he tweeted out. I mean, he gave the race away. So, I mean,
he did.
Whew, I mean, that's got to be a tough one to shake off there. Daniel Suarez, we talked about him already tonight. Great run in the fourth spot there. And here's a guy that is pretty good competitive on dirt. Ryan Newman. He also raced the truck race, if I'm not mistaken, earlier the same day. He came home in the fifth position. That's a great run for Ryan Newman there. I kind of overlook him as a good dirt racer, but he's pretty good. Fifth place finish for that team.
Yeah, he's a wheelman.
Yeah.
Definitely.
For sure. Of course, Homestead winner, William Byron, comes home in six. He led a few laps. He won the iRacing event, Pro Invitational Series race. He's the king of iRacing, the quote-unquote. Six for him. Tyler Reddick. I had him as a sleeper in my fantasy lineup. Yeah. Great race for Tyler Reddick. Seventh. Ryan Blaney, eighth. Eric Jones, ninth. And then Chase Elliott, your top 10 there. Justin, any more thoughts about the Cup race at all? You have anything else to add?
One thing that surprised me was the single file restarts. I like that. That kind of like a throwback vibe, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Restarts. I like that. People weren't really happy about it, but it brought me back to good times, so I like that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that brought back some memories. Love it. That's for sure there. Obviously, back in the heyday of NASCAR, you saw these single file restarts. And again, like I mentioned earlier tonight, everything's changed now. You got double file restarts, close quarter racing. So, yeah, everything's changed from back then to now. I know a few buddies love truck racing. I'm sure you do, too. What have been your thoughts so far of the truck series season this year?
The truck series this year. This year, I don't know. I haven't really been watching the trucks this year. I haven't really gotten into watching it. But honestly, because I'm more of I like the Xfinity series way more than the trucks.
Okay, all right, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's yeah. Hey, everybody has.
No disrespect to the truck series, but I just haven't really been watching it lately.
Hey, everybody has their preference. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but the trucks—they've been—it's been interesting this year. Obviously, the last two winners have been Cup guys, Kyle Busch and Mark Trish Jr. Winning the races last two. Now, Ben Rhodes started off House of Fire, winning the first two races there.
Yeah, he was on the roll.
Yeah, and he finished second there. He was closing in on Martin MTJ towards the end of that race there. So he's underrated on dirt. I'm surprised a few others did not pick him to win the race or be right there in contention. But yeah, that 99 has been very strong this year.
So. Yeah, he's probably the favorite to win the championship. Without a doubt.
I'll put him right there in the mix. Probably not as favorite, but he's right there as one of the top four guys to get a spot in for the championship four in Phoenix. And speaking of the Xfinity Series, obviously they did not race on dirt, unfortunately, last weekend. Kind of your overall thoughts so far on the Xfinity Series season? Obviously, the last time we saw them, Justin Allgaier beat Mark Trish Jr. in Atlanta a couple weeks ago there. Justin had a great car, and that team worked on it constantly throughout, and they pounced, and he also pounced on the Martin Truex Jr. mistake, speeding on pit road, but that 7 car was fast all day long, and we've seen our shares of surprise winners in the Xfinity Series, Justin, this year. Mike Steiner and Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs has been very impressive so far this year.
Indeed. Xfinity Series, they always put on a show, you know, because I feel like the drivers in that series, that's one step below the Cup Series. So they're going to race their heart out to try and prove that they deserve to be in the Cup Series. So, you know, early on this year, there's already drama, already see fights, surprise winners. Like, the Xfinity Series just... it's probably my favorite series at the moment.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
Yeah, there's been plenty of action in the Xfinity Series already this year. Austin Cindric picking up where he left off last year, winning the championship and winning a couple races already in the bag. AJ Allmendinger has been really impressive, going back to full-time for Colleague Racing, and that whole watching that whole entire organization, Colleague Racing, has been something to watch. Allmendinger being part of that process, seeing him go to victory lane. There, Justin Allgaier running away from his demons, getting a win last week. And then you have Noah Gregson getting in another boxing match with this time Daniel Hemric, another JGR. And we go back to last year. I don't know what is with Noah and JGR, but I don't think he likes any of those drivers. Harrison Burton, he gave Harrison Burton a good jab last year after Kentucky race there.
Good knuckle sandwich.
Yep. A very good knuckle sandwich at that. Noah Gregson, he finished fourth, and despite having a damaged car for a majority of that race there, I thought he was done. And Noah Gregson, he should have already won this year, and unfortunately the events at Homestead took him out of that. So what are your thoughts on good old Noah Gregson here moving forward?
Well, I'm a big Noah Gregson fan. For everybody who knows, some people don't like him. A lot of people don't like him, but I just like his aggressive driving, and he's obviously a great driver. But this year so far, he just had bad luck. Like you said, he should have won Homestead the past three races at Homestead, but unfortunately, stuff happened with less than 3 laps to go while he's in the lead. What race was it? I think it was Phoenix, if I'm not mistaken. It was one race he blew up. I think it was Phoenix.
I want to say so too. He blew like a cut like an oil line or something like that.
Yeah. He blew up. But at Atlanta, when he was in that wreck, it was kind of surprising because, like you said, you thought he was done for the day.
Yep. And he comes
back and finishes fourth. So, hey man, he's a great driver. He may be over the top sometimes, but when he calms down a little bit, he'll be up there.
He definitely will be. That's for sure. So we'll see the progress. We'll see what happens. Continue the progression of Noah Gregson as well, and a guy that has not won a national cup or national race yet in the three divisions is Daniel Hemric. He's been pretty fast in an 18 for JGR so far this year. Your thoughts on the other side? Daniel Hemric's been very fast this year, but still yet to taste victory lane in NASCAR.
Yeah, Hemric is—he's a great driver too. Some people won't, you know, agree with that because of his performance in the Cup Series. But in my opinion, I think they kind of rushed him up a little bit too fast. So he went down to the 18, JGR Xfinity. But yeah, he's been really close to winning races this year, but he just isn't close enough. You know what I mean? He's up there, but he just can't grab the win. He could taste it, but mm-hmm. he just can't win. But for sure, I see him winning a race or two, probably three this year. So, you know, once he gets his momentum, once he gets that first win, he's going to be hard to beat too.
Yeah, I think once he finally gets, He hit the nail on the head once he finally gets that checkered flag. I think, he's going to, like y'all said, he's going to get another one here, another one there. So,
for sure.
Daniel Hemric, they rushed him up a little bit, got him back to the Xfinity Series. You want to be competitive, and that's what he's doing right now. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to run up front, lead laps, and eventually get that first win, and next time the Xfinity Series will be racing. It will be next week at Martinsville, a doubleheader at Martinsville. So the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series will be racing there. The trucks will not be racing at Martinsville this time around. They're going to be racing at Richmond Raceway in a few weeks, April 17th. That's going to be a 1:30 Eastern time start at Old Richmond Raceway there. They're going to put on a show there. Have you been to Richmond before?
I have not, unfortunately. My family has when I was younger, but I haven't got the chance to go over there.
Okay, all right. maybe one of these.
I want to go, but the races at Richmond hasn't been that great. But, hey, whenever you get the chance to go to the track, you should go. So.
Yep, yeah, hey, yeah. If you have a chance to go to your race, yeah. You have that time, yeah. Go. Enjoy it. You're going to love it, that's for sure. And we talked about earlier, or I mentioned about Talladega a little bit earlier tonight on the podcast, Justin. Going back to last year's race at Talladega, I believe you were there when all the stuff around these issues around Bubba happen and all this and all the other things that happened, well known. But what was that experience like to go to Talladega to see that race? And Bubba performed well, obviously. We talked about him, and he gets around Talladega pretty good. He's in very good equipment there. Last year, all that events leading up to him being pushed up, carrying that 43, which he was driving last year, all the way up to the top of the grid. Just that in the race in itself, that was just something last year.
Yeah, I was at the fall race. Unfortunately, I was able to win this the spring Talladega.
Oh, okay,
race.
My bad.
yeah, all good, but still, it's Talladega. Bubba ran two great races. Spring Talladega, fall Talladega. It was just I think Bubba was leading. He was leading the pack with like eight laps to go.
Yep, he was leading, yep.
Yeah, and I was like, I was getting anxious, man. I was jumping up and down. I was getting teary eyed. I was like, ain't no way this could happen. Like, I was like, oh my God. Like, and prior to that, I never seen somebody like me, like an African American, lead a race. That was the first time I have ever seen it. So,
yeah.
Other people, they may not think it's a big deal, but to me, I'm like, wow, like, times are changing. So, yeah, he looked like he was going to win the race, and man, he got wrecked. He got wrecked, put in the wall, and I think he was like second with like four to go, whatever. Then he wrecked on the green white checker. But all in all, man, that was the time of my life. That was a great, and that was the race where after the race, Bubba Wallace posted me on his Instagram, and like it was a picture of him leading the pack and me cheering him on. And he posted it, and then he followed me that same night.
So, nice, no, nice.
That whole day and whole night were just magical to me.
Nice, very nice. That does mean a lot, especially for guys like you and myself. Yeah, to see an African American run up front and almost takes the checkered flag there. Yeah, that gives me goosebumps just saying that. But
exactly.
Hey, I mean, Bubba, once he gets rolling here, he's got a shot. So, like we said, they got that crew, the crew chief, and everyone. They have to hopefully, you know, avoid the bumps in the road and put a full race together and really show what that team's about. So, but. Which track do you like better, Daytona or Talladega?
Oh man, damn! I just love both. I love both of them, but
yeah.
Obviously, I love Daytona better than Talladega, only because the history behind it. You know, mm-hmm. If you ever been in Daytona, like you said, you went there before.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
The energy and like. Just the way it looks, it's like, it's magic. Like, you walk to your seats at Daytona and say goosebumps, you know? I don't care how many times I go to Daytona. I go there and I just look around. I'm like, wow, history happened there. Dale Earnhardt, he won the 500 right here. I don't know. It's Daytona is probably one of my favorite tracks. Just the history, the great racing, the scene around Daytona is just magical.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. This is the Three Wide NASCAR podcast. Justin Champagne here with me tonight, EG3, here on the podcast. Easter weekend is upon us here. And yeah, I'm right there with you. Daytona, there's something special about that place. Walking in there, had an opportunity to watch a couple of 500 races and even... watch a Pepsi 4, back in the day, Pepsi 400 race as well. So I've been to my share of Daytona races. It's been a long time since they updated the facilities. I have not been back, but it looks very good. It looks very good. Just the prestige of that track. A lot of great greats have won, but some have not. Then you have your dark horses that have won too. There's just something special about Daytona. And Talladega, I've been to Talladega only twice, so I've been to Daytona more than Talladega. So, and then my home and home track now, I've been to Kansas Speedway now for the last, oh boy, man, whew, 5-6 years, something like that, maybe more than that. But yeah, Kansas Speedway is a pretty good racetrack, and now that it has. Kind of that Atlanta-ish feel to it, but it's not an old surface yet. But it's to where you can race high, you can race middle, you can race low. Yeah, I really enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that track too. It's such great racing.
Yeah. I've seen fortunately I've seen my favorite driver, my A driver Martin Truex, win there. Man, that was. Not only went there once, but he ended up sweeping the races there. Came back in the fall, and the way that he did it then, that was a championship season That was something. Yeah. That's something I won't forget. But yeah, so I love Kansas Speedway, and I'm hoping to eventually, maybe, I mean, not now, but maybe down the line somewhere, maybe go to another racetrack at some point. Now, I've always wanted to go to Martinsville. That's where the Xfinity and Cup Series are headed next. That's kind of on my bucket list.
Yeah, you should definitely try to go there. I love that track.
Yeah, have you been there before?
Yeah, I've been there 2013 for the spring race.
Nice.
Yeah, man. I love that track.
Yeah, that's...
short track, bumping and banging, I love it.
Yeah, oh yeah, so that's on my bucket list. And let's see, I know Nashville is kind of on the list there. When this Cup Series is going to be going back this year, later on this year. Indianapolis. Even though we're not going to be racing on the old track, it's going to be the road course now. With the race that we saw last year in the Xfinity Series was something. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Chase Briscoe, H. Almendinger, and I'm forgetting the other driver. I want to say Noah Gregson, but I could be wrong.
Cindric.
Noah Gregson, he was up there though. But yeah, it was Cindric. Yep, Cindric was up there. So that whole finish, that was something.
So, that was racing right there. That was amazing.
Yeah,
that's the reason why the Cup Series is racing on the road course now.
Yep.
It's like, wow, look at the type of racing they can produce.
Yep, and hopefully they can put on the same show too. I know the Xfinity Series will do the same thing when we go back this summer. That's for sure. A couple of new tracks, obviously, on the schedule. Road courses, anyways. Road America, that's on the list. And not too far away from me, that's about a 7.5 hour drive, or 8 hour drive, is the COTA, Circuit of Americas. Everybody's talking about that place there.
Yeah.
Woo, I can't wait to see what unfolds down there. How that race is going to play out, the road course racing there. I know you enjoy road course racing, right?
Yeah, I love road course racing.
Yeah, I used to not like road course racing back in the day for whatever reason. I don't know why. I just didn't like it, but now I enjoy road course racing. So the strategies what goes into it, obviously the facilities. So that one, I'm circling that, even though I probably won't go, but that one is circled there just to see how that's going to unfold. It just goes back to the whole seven different winners type of feel. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in those races, those wild card races, that's for sure. Michigan, have you been to Michigan yet?
I have. I've been in 2013.
All right.
I went. That one, I believe Joe Logano won it. Logano won that race.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say that one. Yeah, but there's so many tracks that I want to go to in so little time. But yeah, we talked about. Earlier, yeah, you have an opportunity to go to your closest track. Yeah, you have opportunity, you should do it. It's you're gonna have a good time doing that. So, Justin, a few more minutes here on the podcast with you. What are you looking forward to here? I know we're in the off break now. We're gonna have a couple more off breaks, but what are you have any predictions or what are you looking forward to here in the Cup Series here? As we enter into Easter weekend and then we go back to racing here in Martinsville here next week.
Yeah, obviously I'm looking forward to COTA, Road America, Nashville, all the new tracks to go to. But one race that I'm really looking forward to is Darlington. And the fact that I'm looking forward to Darlington is because Steve Phelps, they decided to bring the 750 horsepower package, low downforce. So I'll tell you this now. That race is gonna come down to a classic finish, a classic battle, kind of like how Xfinity with Darlington, last year with Chase Briscoe and Kyle Busch, that amazing
battle. Oh boy, yeah, that was a good finish. That's good.
So Darlington is going to put on a show with that package. And Darlington, low grip. I can't wait for that race.
Ooh. And you haven't been to a Darlington race yet, have you? In person?
Unfortunately not. That's the track I want to go to next.
Yeah, eventually that's another one in the bucket. But yeah, I didn't realize that they were gonna go to a 750 package. Woo!
Yep.
That's gonna be some of the finishes that we've seen in the past. And yeah, definitely we bring up last year's terrific race finish in the Xfinity series, and then you gotta go back. That was a wonderful battle between Kyle Busch and Chase Briscoe. Just everything around that, and then of course Chase Briscoe and his wife at the time there dealing with what they were dealing with then. And speaking of which, congratulations to Chase and Marissa. They're having a baby boy. So that's awesome after what they've been through for the last year plus trying. But yeah, that was a hell of a finish there. And of course, got to go back to the playoffs last year there with Chase Elliott. And Truex there, battling out there. Oh my goodness, that was something there. They basically take each other out there, open the door for Kevin Harvick, but Austin Dillon made a hell of a run there toward the end of that finish there. Almost, if you give Austin Dillon another lap, he probably wins that thing there and puts a shockwave into the playoffs there. So, I'm looking forward to Darlington. That's gonna be a show. That's one of my favorite weekends.
Me too.
Yeah, it's a whole. You get to see the whole throwback schemes and just everything that's around. That's another. Even though I haven't been there, that's another track that you know. Just the whole history. You got to go way back to see how that track is what it is. It still is to this point.
That's the oldest track, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the oldest track in all NASCAR. Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, so, that's going to be quite a show there. I kind of want to get your thoughts here before we wrap this thing up on Martinsville. Next week, obviously, we talked about already Bubba. Kind of one of those you better watch for. Kind of guys, he's going to ride up in the mix. We go back there. Last time we were there, obviously, it was in the postseason format. Chase Elliott, almost said Chase Briscoe for a minute. Chase Elliott, he had to win to get in. He did that. And so he's been pretty good there as of late. Obviously, the Keselowskis, Ryan Blaney's been solid. Truex has been really good there. And a couple of others I can name off a little bit there, but what are your thoughts on a good old short track Martinsville?
In terms of the racing over there?
Yeah. Here's your thoughts. Yeah.
It's great racing. Recently, Truex, I don't know what happened to Truex, but I'll never forget every time he came close to winning at a short track, they would always say, he's never won at a short track, this is bad. And then he won at Martinsville, I think. 2019, that fall race, and ever since then he's been dominant at Martinsville. So
yep.
if I were to pick a winner, it's definitely either Truex or don't count out Brad Keselowski. Don't count him out.
See, yeah.
But it's gonna, and it's a Saturday night race, so I don't know. I think just. The way the season's been going, I think that race is going to be pretty hectic in terms of Rex being a banging finish. It's going to be a great race. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, you're spot on. You're spot on, Justin. It is a night race. I don't know why I didn't think about that. I thought it was with all the races there, obviously, they have lights now. It's awesome. But yeah, I should have thought about that. But yep, you're spot on. 7:30 next weekend. The Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief 500 at Martinsville Speedway next Saturday night. That's going to be your show there. Under Lights Racing. And then you have we talked about the Xfinity Series a few moments ago while my screen is switching here. That's also going to be Under Lights as well, the Cookout 250. And given to what we've seen last time at Atlanta between Noah Gregson and Daniel Hemrick, they might trade some more paint. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. That's going to be a show on our lights Friday night. So prime time racing, ladies and gentlemen, at Martinsville. Coming next weekend after the Easter bye week. And yeah, Brad, you mentioned Brad Keselowski. Justin, yeah, that's somebody you're going to have to watch. Somebody who I mentioned pretty sporadically tonight on the podcast who has not won yet this year. He'll have a chance to keep that theme going of eight different winners. Yeah, so Chase Elliott, he could be in that equation as well. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, Kyle Larson and Mark Chase Jr. had a chance to be a two-time winner this year. But, you know, Blaney closed it out in Atlanta, and then circumstances taking Mark Trix out of a good finish. And we saw finally Joey Logano, who's been kind of up there before you called in tonight, Justin. I talked about Joey Logano a little bit. He's been in the mix for a lot of these wins early on in the year. They're obviously, you know, he and Keselowski clashed at the final winning moments at the 500. And he's been real right there. He got passed by Christopher Bell. And, of course, Phoenix, Mark Trish Jr. passed him on the final restart. And then, so Joey Logano, he's right there now. He's got that win. And he's a former champion, obviously. So, I mean, Joey Logano, somebody you're going to have to watch out for. So, who outside of the big dogs, who's going to be the next? I'm kind of putting you on the spot, Justin, a little bit. But who do you think? And I might know where you're going to go with this one, but I want to see hear from you.
You already know what I'm about to say.
Yep. Who do you think is going to be the next surprise winner, baby?
I'm going to have to go with Bubba Wallace.
Yep.
Because he's good at short tracks, and he's good at restricted plates. So the next races are two short tracks and a restricted plate. And he has a fast gear, fast car, a great crew chief with Mike Wheeler. So, hey, don't count him out yet. I'm telling you. He's gonna get his win.
Yeah, and when he does, oh man, it's gonna be big, man. It's gonna be big.
It's gonna be huge.
It's gonna worldwide. Be big. Worldwide, baby. Okay. Yeah, worldwide. It's gonna be big, man. All right, so you were on another podcast here, just recently, actually. Just tell us about that a little bit. You were doing some Xfinity racing, if you were, or promoting something. Tell us about that.
That was last night. I was on a podcast. It was a great podcast. Do you talk about the Xfinity promotion thingy?
Yeah, right on time. that I'm looking at right now, yeah.
Yeah. It was a mini game that we did at the end of the podcast. It was either Truck Series or the Xfinity Series. And he was like, okay, which one do you like better? Which one do you prefer? And y'all already know. I said earlier, I love the Xfinity Series. It was a Johnny on the Track podcast. You can follow him at JOTT_podcast. He did a great job, and that podcast was good. I like the game at the end. It's pretty fun.
Nice. And obviously, I'm here with Justin Champagne here tonight.
Yes, sir.
Here, thanking him for finally getting him on the 3 Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. I kind of want to get your, here before I let you go, I want to get your kind of your prediction on the Xfinity Series. I know it's probably a little early, but I'm going to do it anyway. So, all right, so give me your kind of your preseason championship 4 picks.
Allmendinger, Gregson, Cindric, and Allgaier.
Ooh, that's That those are heavy hitters right there. Those are heavy hitters right there. Yeah. Yeah, Almendinger's prime, man. I mean, he's got a full season, and he looks like he could win maybe two, three more races. We know Cindric can go on a run. We know Allgaier can go on a run, and once he gets a win, and Gregson, if his head's screwed on right, he can beat Victor Lane multiple times as well. That's not a back four to pick right there. So we'll have to, keep an eye on that as the Xfinity Series rolls along. They'll be back on the racetrack next Friday night at Martinsville. All right, Justin, before I let you go for the evening, tell everybody where they can find you on social media. You're pretty busy. You're right there on social.
You can follow me at Champagne Racing, not racing, racing. No G. At Champagne Racing on Twitter for NASCAR content. And, yeah. Give me a follow. I'll follow you back.
Good stuff. Good stuff, sir. This has been awesome. Awesome. Got to try to get you back on.
I enjoyed it.
Try to get you back on at some point. Maybe once Bubba wins, probably I'll get you back on here.
I'll be on here that night.
Okay.
If he wins, I'll be on here.
Okay. All right. I'll mark. All right. I got you on tape for that. I'll mark you. I'll keep word for that one. Gotcha. All right. That's a deal.
That's a deal.
Right here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. That's a deal. All right. Sounds good. A lot to look forward to this year. Happy Easter, Justin. Finally able to get you on the podcast soon. Yeah, and enjoy the weekend, and sure we'll be chatting on Twitter about Martinsville, sir.
Indeed. You as well. Appreciate it.